So, bank lending. Is the low interest rate environment really helping the banks or the customers who are supposed to benefit from cheaper loans? That's the question we're asking with Simon Littlewood today. Simon, because obviously, you know, interest rates have been low around the world for quite a number of years. And in some markets, interest rates continue to be very, very low. Have the low interest rates really helped companies?
Well, the first question you ask, which is, you know, what's happened to the money that governments have made available to banks through quantitative easing? Because in America, the Fed has been buying most government bonds until very recently. And in Europe, the European Central Bank has been buying most government bonds at very low rates, of course. The consequence of that is that there's lots and lots of other money swilling around. That money has found its way into corporate balance sheets in the form of lending. Does that help companies, whether it comes from a bank or another source? The answer is actually no, it doesn't. Because if I'm borrowing money to offset a deficiency in my balance sheet, it's because something's fundamentally wrong with the way that my business is operating. Because to be successful, a business should fund its own balance sheet. The cash that comes from my customers should be sufficient to allow me to run my business day to day. It should provide working capital, in other words.
But that's the whole point, isn't it? To make money from your customers.
Yeah. And what we're seeing, as you know, because we talked about this a lot, what we're seeing in many parts of Southeast Asia is we're seeing an imbalance. We're seeing that companies with relative power in the market, that's larger companies, particularly the larger multinationals, and state-owned enterprises who have clout within particular countries, are able to put pressure on smaller and medium-sized companies, delay their payments to those companies in order to grow their own war chest of cash, which they can then use to pay dividends, to acquire other companies, generally to increase their strength in the market. And a consequence of that is that what many governments claim are the staple of economic growth in Southeast Asia, which are small and medium enterprises, are being progressively disadvantaged. Contrary to what you read, it's extremely tough to be an SME at the moment.
But back to the question about whether the money is actually benefiting the companies it's supposed to. You did say that the money is finding its way into corporate balance sheets. But on the other hand, we're hearing people like Bank Negara Indonesia say things like, you know, we're seeing loan growth of 7% when we should be seeing loan growth of 12%.
If you have a profligate relative, and I'm not suggesting you have.
You mean a rich uncle?
Being German, you probably don't. But if you had a profligate relative who was known for going out, you know, wasting his youth and spending money, and you then made available to him large amounts of extremely cheap money, how likely do you think it is to lead to his early reform?
But isn't that... Wait a minute, Simon. Isn't that what the whole low interest rate, quantitative easing thing was all about? Let's make it cheaper for banks to loan money from the system, from the central bank, and those banks in turn will help
companies.
Yeah,
I mean, that was...
Has that happened or not?
No, it hasn't happened. You know it hasn't happened. I mean, because that policy initiative, for want of a better word, is predicated on the notion that banks seek social good. They don't. Banks seek to make as much money as they possibly can, so they've used that money for other things. Banks are profit-making enterprises. The only exception to that rule, I'll give you a model of a bank that is extremely good at making cash available to small businesses for growth, and that would be any large bank in China. Well, absolutely. The Chinese government makes lots of liquidity available. It tells local banks, lend money into these industries to ensure growth, employment, infrastructure build, and they do exactly as they're told. You can't do that in a Western economy. So despite the fact that trillions of dollars of additional cash is washing around the American financial system, you're still looking at very little development in infrastructure. You're still looking at, you know, significant lack of investment in many industries. There are a whole load of challenges which derive from the fact that money's not being spent in the right places and that government policy is not creating the real growth that it is intended to create. Yeah.
You obviously feel very passionate about this because what you can't see is the fact that Simon is thumping, what you can hear is the fact that Simon is thumping his fist on the table. But back to the SMEs.
What if I just click a barrow instead?
Yeah, that'll be just
as
annoying.
To indicate nerves. Okay, all right. Well, it seems I can't do anything then. So,
but what you can do is answer this question.
Okay, yeah.
If the solution is not in central banks lowering interest rates, and because banks don't pass those lower rates on to their customers, or maybe they do, then what is the solution?
Unless you want to have a state-controlled solution. I mean, the question you're asking is kind of a nutty question because
I'm good with those.
You started by talking about Indonesia. I mean, theoretically...
It could be any bank. I mean, the fact is that central banks all around the world have lowered interest rates in the hope of spurring loan growth.
You know, a lot has been written about this, but in theory, we have free market economies in Europe and in North America. What that means is that governments are not supposed to control what banks do with their money and how people spend their money. But the reality is that a government that sees it to its political advantage will do it. But that's not to the medium term or even the long term advantage of individual businesses or the economy as a whole. And the reason that they continue to borrow against the future in order to put large amounts of liquidity into the economy is because no one wants to take the decision that today will be the day that we kind of pull down the shutters and say no more cash. Mm. Because what that will mean is it will mean a big shock to business. And in fact, we're now, it's interesting because we talked about this last year. You know, we talked about an article which I wrote, what, in September, October for Global Finance in New York that said that this couldn't possibly go on. Actually, I just had lunch with a guy that helped me with that article. And the reality is that now we've just seen a huge correction on Wall Street. And why have we seen that? Because valuations are nuts, because what's happened to this liquidity is it's found its way into equities, just as it's found its way into huge property bubbles in Asia and North America. So what this does is it creates huge maladjustments in markets.
You say adjustments, you mean downward adjustments?
Yes, it sends things in an artificial... I mean, there is a discussion around whether equities ever really equate to a meaningful notion of value, but theoretically, there are things that you can measure in terms of how a company performs that should have some kind of link to the market value of that stock. The thing is, we're now, again, in a situation where valuations have come way off what would really be defensible based on how companies are performing. Valuations are, as much as anything, driven by the fact that it's very easy to borrow money cheaply and buy equities.
So in other words, what governments should have done, and of course it's all well and good with the benefit of hindsight, but what they should have done instead of allowing, you know, lowering interest rates in the hope that banks will loan more money to their customers, they should have just written checks to the SMEs. They should have just printed the money and said, here, go and invest this, go and spend this, go and hire staff.
Well, you know, when this happened years ago, I remember interviewing Mark Mobius at a treasure, you know, the gentleman with slightly less hair than me,
which is saying something,
who's a very well-known fund manager, and the American government had taken the decision to bail out the banks, to bail out Wall Street, to bail out Ford. You know, his view was, as was mine, no, let them fail. You know, this is socialism for the rich. All of these enterprises make huge amounts of money from a, quote, free market, except when their excesses lead them to bankruptcy, the taxpayer is supposed to bail them out. And that's normal. No, it's not normal. So it's not, the problem is not, if insofar as there is a problem with SMEs, it's the predatory behavior of banks and large companies, yeah? And governments that make artificial liquidity available are just making that worse, because what they're doing is they're de-linking any real measure of health and performance from the availability of money and value, you know?
So in other words, you're saying SMEs should just go bankrupt. They should just fail.
Well, actually, SMEs understand the value of money better than most big companies for the very simple reason that they have less access to other forms of liquidity.
They have less money, yes.
Yes, they have less money. You know, you and I both know that because we run small companies. At the end of the day, if we don't collect our receivables, if we don't get paid, if we don't make money, we can't pay our staff, we can't pay our rent. Mm. You know, we end up running businesses, you know, out of the back of our cars or whatever. well, we do.
That's if we can afford the cars.
Yes, well, that's true. Actually, the office is cheaper in Singapore than the car, in fact, isn't it? It's we live in this strange world where everyone talks about, and it was amusing me because I've been in Southeast Asia now nearly 30 years, and periodically some senior politician from the US comes around and belabors everybody in Southeast Asia for not operating proper free market economies, which is, I mean, it's hugely funny.
Okay, but back to the point of the question, which is, should we
I've
just let SMEs fail?
I've forgotten what it was, Mark.
Should we just let SMEs fail?
I'm not going to go on the air and say that we should let SMEs fail.
But that's the implication.
We should discourage large enterprises from beating up SMEs and in a predatory fashion taking their cash, which is where you and I came into this discussion. You know, insofar as governments have any kind of role, it is ensuring a level playing field. It's ensuring fairness. It's ensuring that there are rules and they're followed, you know. That isn't what's happened. What's happening is exactly the opposite, which is that everywhere you look, there are things being done that make it much easier for bigger companies to profit. And the bigger the company, the more they can profit. It doesn't matter whether you look at quantitative easing or you look at the massive regulation that supposedly in response to the to the Fannie Mae crash, you know, to the crash in the property market, supposedly put in place to ensure those things can't happen in future. What's actually done is it's created huge barriers to operation for small and medium-sized enterprises, because the burden of regulation, of anti-money laundering, of BEPS, base erosion and profit shifting, all of these things require a level of compliance that is very...
It's very onerous
for small and medium companies. So much so that banks won't even let you open a bank account now unless you have a minimum value of transactions in the many hundreds of thousands.
Well, Richard Branson introduces you to the bank.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simon. We'll leave it there for now. And for you listening, drop us your comments in the box nearby this audio stream. We'd love to hear what your input is. Has the low interest rate environment really helped companies, or would we have been better off to let the big banks fail and SMEs find ways to make money in other ways?
Can I tell you, are we finished?
We're kind of finished. Okay, here's a little PS from Simon.
Actually, no, you don't want to hear that.
I might do. Depends what you have to say.
I was going to tell you the one about the bishop and the... But no, okay.
Okay, well, let's have that next week. Tune in then, and we look forward to your comments in the meantime.